Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number three of the most thrilling 3 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the listener-supported broadcast where we need your money in order to keep this show on the road so we can interview very important people who have lots of very interesting things to say from all over the world and across all spectrums of discourse. If you support that kind of a broadcast, this is the one to listen to, this is the one to sign up to and give us a monthly contribution. We don't charge anybody to listen to the broadcast. I put it out all there for free, and I just hope that through my generosity of giving up all of my time pretty much every single day of the week, I think I've maybe 10 4 a.m. finishes in the last 2 weeks, up late editing, that kind of thing. I'm really busting my hump here, ladies and gentlemen. I can assure you, it's not worth it. So if you want to support me, please do. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, either through the PayPal or the Kiwi Bank there, and I really appreciate those who choose to sign up for regular donations as well. Even a dollar a month helps if there's enough people doing it. Okay, so back to my very special guest. We were talking about Elvis over the break, weren't we? Something along those lines. Stu, what do you know about Elvis, bro?
Well, it's kind of a strange twist of story, but I get a call from a girl. I'm out in Las Vegas, and this was in 2002, getting ready to leave out there. And I get a call from a girl, and she's over at a doctor's house that I knew, this doctor. She was very patriotic, the doctor was, and held meetings, you know, at her clinic and all this stuff. And I'd been there and spoke a couple of times. Well, she was over visiting with her friend, the doctor from California. And I had my crime chart just to put it up on the internet. I didn't have an internet site, but everybody was taking it and spreading it, you know, because I could email. And they were parking up on their sites. And it was the three legs of Iran-Contra I caught, which was Arkansas, Ohio, and Colorado. So she wants to have a lunch with me. She wants to treat me to lunch. She's got to see me over Robert Fesco being in the crime chart. Well, you probably remember some of the stories on Vesco, Chip, but Robert Vesco was tied heavily into all this stuff. He was a fugitive, you know, into security frauds and all this, and fled to the Caymans, and now he's in Cuba, it's reported. I don't know if he's still alive or not. But Robert Vesco was in my crime chart because there were ties and overlays to Denver, once again, to the APEC-controlled Melman, the Israeli Mossad, the top don, you know, the Silverado Bank, we discussed everything, my ex-in-law. So we had a long talk, and she wanted to talk further. And we were down the street from where I lived. And I said, well, let's go back to my place. We're sitting out on the patio. And I make a phone call to our mutual friend, Al Martin, Gene. And I make a friend to someone else you know that's a friend, and without mentioning names. And I said, why did Elvis Presley die, after she had told me this whole story? And they both came back with the same identical answer. It blew that girl's friggin' mind. And it was called Operation, I believe it was Open Pen. I'd have to go back to my notes on it. But I believe it was Operation Open Pen. And she was Bill Bixby, the actor's producer and assistant. And the girl didn't want her name ever revealed in any place and all this stuff, you know. And, but she was, they had made a 2-hour special on Elvis Presley, why he died, and, you know, what had occurred, and so on and so forth. And she told me the whole story, and I even saw a video clip of it. And of course, I then had made the phone calls and asked what was the name of the operation, because they didn't know. Well, what had happened is he went to Richard Nixon because of his concerns about drug, a cartel in Colorado, and that he had stumbled across, you know, just being a singer. And so he decided he wanted to get a badge. He wanted to help put a stop. So they deputized him. What did it used to be called? The Bureau of Dangerous Narcotics and something. What was the name of it? Gene, do you remember? It was before they changed it to the Drug Enforcement Administration. It's called the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, I think was what it was called. Well, he got deputized. Well, George Washington University had the actual documents up there, and still do, showing that this is all true, and that and even pictures of him in there with Richard Nixon and all the stuff. So they deputized him, and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, I think they called it Time or whatever their drug deal was, they deputized him. So he was officially deputized as an informant because he was going to help shut it down. Well, it turned out to be it was Robert Vesco's drug operation, which now is called Peter Kerr's, Neil Bush, and Larry Mizell's drug operation. They took over, which encompasses part of the boys in with Jeb Bush and so forth that I don't want to mention a name there because I was in jail with him. I'm not getting into that. Dangerous people. But the point is that, you know, I make the phone call, find out it's this open pen, and how they both explained to me what they had heard, how Elvis Presley died, that his colonel was compromised. And they had some stuff over, which was his manager, his handler. And he's the one that Elvis was taking some pills for something. And he turned around and slipped some other pills in. And he got a doctor that was Elvis's doctor involved. And they got him a little bit more hooked on something, a little bit more hooked, and OD'd him is what they did to silence him. Well, just before Elvis's death, Robert Vesco bought Elvis Presley's airplane with a hot check. And he actually took delivery. The check was supposed to be good on a Monday. He takes delivery on a Friday night or Saturday morning, whichever it was. They couldn't get to the bank in time. And, of course, the check bounced. And he had his airplane. Something that people don't know about. I might add, she was a little sweetheart.
If you say so.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, that was random. Thank you, Stu. All right. Okay. Moving on. So, celebrities, people on the inside, and also people on the outside who actually have a credible threat against the New World Order, global cabal, criminal syndicate, more or less. These are the people that wind up getting targeted for assassination. Now, I was just wondering, I mean, do you have any predictions of people that are alive today that you don't reckon will be alive too long there?
I'd say probably many of the heads of these large financial institutions are shaking in their boots. The head of J.P. Morgan needs to be shaking in his boots. A lot of these financial institutions, the weak links are being assassinated now, making sure that they're not going to roll over and testify. So they really need to be aware, and they need to get their eyes open and know that their whole institution and those under them are being looked at very, very heavily, and the decisions are being made on who's going to remain breathing.
Can I ask you, do they...
I correct him on that because I verified that the other day with a source on a throwaway phone that indicated that they've got the kill teams out there and they are assassinating. I mean, you just don't jump off of a friggin' skyscraper in London.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an example, but...
Or shoot yourself 9 times in the head with a nail gun. Come on.
Actually, it was 12 times in the head with a nail gun, 6 on the left side and 6 on the right side, and then ruled a suicide.
Uh-huh.
Wait, hold on a second.
Really,
let me.
Really depressed.
That's actually quite a funny pun there. He's shot six times in one side, 6 times in the other side, and that's called a suicide.
Suicide.
You know, I look at these bankers because they're the ones that were the scumbags that have put everybody in this. And, I mean, I got less than names of these scumbags. I ought to put it up on the internet and say, hey, George Bush, this is the liability, you know, just to watch them get assassinated. Because, quite frankly, I don't care for these scumbags. They did this for money. I mean, maximized money and these huge bonuses. And they stole all these trillions of dollars. As far as I'm concerned, they need to be really locked up and used as witnesses, but nothing's going to happen. So, you know,
what I find absolutely amazing.
Go ahead.
What I find absolutely amazing is the fact that these trillions of dollars have left and no one knows where it is.
Yeah.
They can't find that money.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Well,
amazing.
If it takes 200,
who are they working for?
The corporations.
Well, if it takes $250K per ticket punched, and that was back in the 70s and 80s, it probably costs like upwards of millions nowadays to just do one hit. And because people are like dropping like flies all over the place, I mean, there's been so many bankers that have turned up dead just in the last couple of weeks alone. I think that's kind of where the money's going, don't you reckon? That's a fair assumption.
I'd say that's a part of it. I think that money is being saved and used in other areas. The money that they're using for this, look, every time we go into a war, we go into Vietnam. You can look at the history books. Look at Secord, Poindexter, all those guys. They had their arms sales business going. When the United States goes into a country, all of the arms, the only thing they bring out of that country are the aircraft. All of the small arms, all of the ordnance, grenades, law missile launchers, anti-tank weapons, tanks, vehicles, they're left in that country. Now, if you go back into those countries a few years later, you're going to see, well, where'd all that equipment goes. I'm going to tell you where it goes. Secord and the arms dealer, Hashiki and all of them, get those arms. They take them out to a neutral location, and they use all those arms in sales to other countries. And it's billions and billions of dollars. And that's the money they usually use for this type of operations. They take their cut, and then they have it in the kitty to take down. Now we have Afghanistan, we have Iraq, we have all these battles where all these arms are being made available and being slowly brought out. No one's going to question a C-141 or a C-5 full of arms leaving a country. And when a general is involved in it, it just goes wherever they want it to go, gets stored and then gets sold.
Yeah, that reminds me of a major who was stationed in Mexico City, American Air Base. He looked into one of these C-130 Hercules, I think, and there was like $1 billion worth of cocaine on board, and it was contracted to the CIA through the U.S. Forest Service, I think. And these planes from the Forest Service have been flown all around the world. You see them out of Afghanistan and Iran and so on and so forth, running drugs for the CIA. I've heard a theory postulated that the reason why the CIA is so heavily involved in heroin smuggling in particular, but also cocaine out of South America, is black budgets. If you've got all that money off the books, you can use it for your black ops, and it's untraceable.
Right. What happened in the 70s is the oversight and funding was taken over by Congress. So if the CIA or NSA or anyone wanted to do a black operation, they still had to go before these guys and get permission. And the problem is, when you tell a politician, if you lay a plans out to a politician, they can't keep their mouth shut. I'll tell you that now. They're going to call someone. They're going to tell someone. And so they decided we're going to make our own money machine, and we're going to run our black ops right off the bat. That's how I was paid. I was paid right out of the black ops budgets.
By the way, Benny, I can drop some in or not change subject, I want to read some of these names off, see if anybody recognizes them. Just a few. Here's your bank bailout scamsters who sit there and created $100 trillion worth of mortgages that the government can't figure out, but yet I supplied this information. It's called Asset Investors Acceptance, Inc. These are all subsidiary companies of MDC Holdings in Denver, which is the parent company of Silverado, which is the APEC boys. Asset Investors Acceptance Company, Inc., Acceptance, Inc., Asset Investors Corporation, Asset Investors Equity, Asset Investors Finance Corporation, Asset Investors Funding Corporation, Asset Investors LLC, Asset Investors Mortgage Funding Corporation, Asset Investors Operating Partnership Limited LP, BR Asset Investors Limited, BR Asset Investors LLC, DNR Asset Investors, Greenwood Asset Investors LLC, Investor Asset Management Group LLC, Investor Asset Management LDC, MDC Asset Investors, 38 different entities underneath that additional, and MDC Asset Investors, Inc. Now, that's one group of the names. Those were the ones that were creating the mortgages, and then this is just the partial list that I've acquired of the companies that are stealing everybody's houses back that are these artificial mortgages. Aurora Loan Servicing, Inc., of course, Colorado Corporation, run by myself, Bank of America Corporation, Countrywide Financial, Bank of America, Back Home Loan Services, L.P., Countrywide Home Loan Servicing, L.P., Bank of America Mortgage Securities, Inc., Bayview Loan Servicing, LLC, Caliber Home Loans, Inc., Veracrest Financial, Inc., California Reconveyance Company, Carrington Mortgage Services, Chase Home Finance, LLC, City Mortgage, Inc., City Residential Lending, Inc., AMC Mortgage Services, Inc., Home EQ Servicing Corporation, Barclays Capital Real Estate, Inc., HSBC Mortgage Services, Inc., Lender Processing Services, Inc., Litton Loan Servicing, LP, Nationwide Title Clearing, Inc., OCWEN Loan Servicing, One West Bank, Orion Financial Group, Inc., Securities Connection, Inc., Select Portfolio Services, Inc., Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, doing business as American Servicing Company, et cetera. Now, those are just a few of the big ones that were involved and still are involved in the mortgage fraud, folks. And a frigate government with 250 federal agents and 30 and 50 some odd attorneys, including SEC attorneys, can't figure this out. Now, if I can figure it out, why can't the following SEC attorneys and the U.S. attorney in Denver, one's name is, here, I'll give you their name.
Can I just postulate a theory before you continue? How come they can't figure this out? You need to turn your speakers down.
Yet they can't just simply take the trail and go figure it out. Instead, they want to settle for $13.5 billion with J.P. Morgan and never prosecute anybody.
Hmm. Well, either it's because they're on the take or they're afraid of getting assassinated.
Yes, exactly. Mm. And we have to ask ourselves who Eric Holder, if anybody remembers scamster Mark Rich, and, of course, Eric Holder's assistant up there that resigned last year, because Frontline did several specials on him about the cover-up of these mortgage frauds, and he decided to take a hike. That was Lanny Brewer, I think his name was. He took a hike from the Justice Department knowing the heat was coming down. Both of those two, Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer, were Mark Rich's attorney. Did you ever do any business with Mark Rich, Chip?
No, I didn't.
I wanted to ask Chip a question. And your speakers are up again still, Stu. Can you just turn those down because there's still a bit of feedback? Chip, has there ever been any assassination attempts that, contracts that you were a part of that were called off? Right? Like they were stopped or anything like that? Because I was wondering, if they want you, they'll get you. But what if you know that they want to have you, and what if you approached the people that would take out the hit directly and go, guys, I know that you're probably going to try and kill me and what have you, so I'll tell you what, I'll leave my position, I'll zip the lip, and I won't be any problem for you whatsoever, just please don't kill me, please don't hurt my family, and I'll do whatever you want. Is there anything like that? There's no negotiating with these people, though, is there?
No, well, that's the process. The process of neutralizations normally begins with negotiating with them. They'll try to negotiate with them. If that doesn't work, they'll try to intimidate them. If that doesn't work, they'll try blackmailing them. If that doesn't work, that's when they send us in.
Okay, so it's like three strikes, then you're out.
That's it.
You know, literally out of the park. Okay. Well, it's funny because I came to. Hold on, Stu. I came to a similar conclusion about that. Is in fact, I've had a couple of people approach me and say, Vinny, aren't you afraid that they're going to assassinate you? And I go, no, absolutely not, because they're not just going to, like, straight out assassinate me if they want to, all right? First, they're going to approach me, negotiate with me, then try and blackmail me, and then intimidate me, and if that doesn't work, then they'll kill me. So I've got plenty of warnings before I even get to that point, so I'm not really worried about it.
Well, there's a story out on the internet. One of the interviews I did, I think it was with a radio host in Fort Lauderdale in the 90s. After the interview, he was approached. A couple men in a Cadillac drove up, knocked on the door, got him outside, and told him if he ever did a radio show like that again, if he ever had me on, he'd be underground.
I think I remember that one. Wasn't that the one that Jeb Bush lost the election that year?
That's the one.
We were pounding him on a radio program down there, and Jeb Bush had this stooge female on another radio program on another network, and we would come on Sunday night, many of us, and pound Jeb Bush and all his crimes. And the next morning, Monday through Friday, this girl would be there supporting Jeb Bush, I swear. Jeb Bush was standing outside the radio station every day with the zipper down. You know, he was just so proud of this woman. And so anyway, she never could put him back. And he was totally destroyed and actually lost the election. I remember that, Gene. I remember that.
And
I remember
now we have Jeb's son, George Prescott Bush, coming into politics. This year he's running for office in Texas.
And people say this.
Generation four.
Yeah, and people say that the United States isn't a monarchy. You know, you've got your royal families just like the rest of the world, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I was just thinking, is there ever going to be another president who's not related to the other presidents? You know, and in fact, there was this 14-year-old girl who did a genealogy thing just in high school. You know, 14-year-old American girl managed to figure out through genealogy, just tracing back the mother's and the father's lines, that every single president since the frickin' the very first one have all been related by blood in some way, shape, or form.
Well, the way Stu thinks, everybody is. Adam and Eve's the mother and father, you know?
Yeah, especially if you...
I don't know what I think anymore.
Yeah. Well, see, in America, you make... Adam made Eve out of baby back ribs instead.
Give me that baby back, huh?
I want my baby back ribs. Okay. Now, conclusions and what have you. I think you've lived a very interesting life there, Chip. Have you got any, like, philosophies and things of that nature? You know, real interesting lessons of life that you think are probably worth sharing.
Sure, don't go to work for the government.
I mean, that's a given. That's not important philosophy, you know. It's like, you know, by the way, you know, one of my important philosophies is not to work for criminal psychopathic scum, you know. It's just like, really, okay, dodge that bullet, so to speak.
I've learned in life that you can trust no one. And I really mean that, because when you're down, even those who you thought were your friends are going to pull away from you, even family members. And when you're down, you're going to find out who your real friends are. But don't put your trust in anyone. Don't feel like you can open up to anyone about anything you've seen. Or it's better you just keep your mouth shut and walk away from things.
And if you want, and I'm in agreement with what he said. And by the way, Vinny, if you go around telling people, like Gene, would you say what he did for a living? Or if you go around like me, I know as a whistleblower, what do you do for a living? If I say a whistleblower, I don't get laid. But if I say I'm a home builder or I'm a contractor, oh, well, then there's interest. I'll leave it as that. You know, everybody runs for cover.
Yeah. That's actually true. You know, me trying to tell girls that I'm a talk radio show host and they just back away slowly, you know. It's like kryptonite to vagina. I'm joking. I'm joking.
It's worse than that one. It's when you're
Yeah. Well, plus I'm married and what have you. And there's the other element as well. I had James Wright. He's a Freemason whistleblower. He was like right up the top of the 33rd degree Supreme Council in Dallas. And I asked him one time, don't you feel kind of like lonely? You know, like he hadn't been in a relationship for ages. It's like as soon as you tell somebody, "Hi, I'm under threat of assassination constantly by the Freemasons," they're like, "Whoa, I don't think that's worth it." You know?
Yeah. Well, I don't have any luck either. What do you do? Well, I'm a retired spy. Oh yeah, I've heard that before, you know. And this guy over here is a neurosurgeon. You know, they never believe it, so you never hit it with them.
Yeah,
you just say I'm retired, or I'm actually I run an electronics company right now. But,
yeah. I exterminate people, you know.
Insurance company.
Yeah. I'm in genocide insurance. You know, I work for the government.
Insurance company, right?
Yeah. I, you know, isn't it strange though? I mean, come on, ladies, don't you have? Where's your sense of adventure?
You know, when we work for our proprietary companies, some of the companies we work for and maintain IDs and everything was Xerox, because we could travel worldwide with that. Another one was Melita Coffee Corporation, believe it or not, out of Germany.
Yeah,
that gave us tickets to go anywhere in the world where they were, you know.
So you can get Xerox off.
Yep, there's a.
I'm beginning to believe another friend of mine, you know, in one of the agencies, and he's a super spook. Gene knows who he is. He says there's no substitute like a prostitute. I said what? He says, oh yeah. He says you got a good looking housewife someplace. He says, you pay her $200. He says, you spend more than that on two or three dates trying to get laid. Then you finally get lucky. He says, I don't have to put up with the crap. He says, have a couple drinks with her. Have about 3 or 4 hours of great sex and send her the hell out the door. And I don't have to tell her I'm a spy.
Yeah. Right? Hey, well, where there's a will, you can get your end away.
Yeah, I'm just making fun of women out here because they're the biggest wimps that there really are. But you know what's very interesting? In this patriot movement, in my opinion, there's probably 7 women to every 1 guy. I mean, to the 7 to the 3. There's probably 70% of the patriot movement are women. Why? They're constantly pushing the men to do something. They're constantly pushing the men, the protectors, to do something. But yet the men don't do it. They'll finally get them off their duff to do something.
Mm.
I've seen that. There's 7 out of 10 in this patriot movement want to clean this up are probably women. And I give them high regard and high respect for that.
Well, I actually, well, I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there because I've had a look at the demographics and things like that, visitation to my website and a number of other patriot websites. It's actually the opposite. It's 30% women, 70% men.
I could show you what mine are showing. I mean,
That's just because you're hot, Stu, you know, and the women just want to come and look at you at your website, you know. That's what I'm betting. And the other element here is I've spoken to a lot of guys who are in the patriot movement and spoken to their missuses and whatnot. You know, missuses, it's a plural of misses. And what happens is the women are actually the ones who hold the men back to a large degree and or hold them up, okay? So the men go out and they're doing all of this stuff kind of thing and that they start to go a little bit crazy, then the women rein them in. Or the men will go out and do stuff and start being really successful, but they'll start to be trepidatious about it or what have you, and the women will help them and support them and keep them going kind of thing. Or at least these are the relationships that I've spoken with a number of patriots about. It seems to be pretty much that way. If they're in stable relationships, other than that, if they're single, you know, it's basically you're on your own.
Well, do you think we've got about 50 million people that would just go to Washington and round everybody up and round up all DHS across the land and just, you know, we can put new people in position right there. Hey, so-and-so out of the crowd, come over here. You think we got enough people to do that?
I don't know. It depends what
there's
position.
There's only a million of them that are locked and loaded and armed. There's 100 million people supposedly locked and loaded and armed in the United States. I'm not suggesting overthrow, and I'm not suggesting revolution. I'm just asking, are there enough men out there with the guts to finally say yes?
Well, here's another thing I've found, is that finding a woman, if you're a patriot and you expose scumbaggery for a living, is actually quite difficult. Like, I've spoken to a number of, say, for example, fluoride activists and what have you, guys who just, you know, can't find a girl because whenever they... I mean, it's really stupid. Okay, you're trying to make the girl like you by talking about the fact that they're dumbed down and their fertility's being threatened by fluoride. You know, it's like it's like a self cock block. And I thought about this: what if there were women who were already into the fluoride debate and what have you? What if we started up a dating website for them called Fluoridate.com?
There you go. Believe me, I don't have any problem picking up women any place. It's just when you tell them you're a whistleblower, they run the other way. So I've learned not to do that.
Yeah.
I lay low, real low, all the time. I have to.
Yeah, if you lay low, you get laid.
Well, no, I'm laying low. I'm acting, you know. I've got little toys, and I've learned how to rig up door handles. Come through my door handle, you get electrocuted, other things, so... You know, as a contractor, you learn to do things.
That reminds me of a friend of mine. We had there's these alarm systems where you put them together and they don't make a noise. And you're supposed to put them on doors and stuff. So as soon as somebody opens the door, it goes. You know, like really, really loud, right in the ears. And we installed it on the fridge, and we were just waiting for our mate Timo to come and go to the fridge and get himself a beer out of it. We got it on video as well. He's just like, whoa, what the hell is that?
Hey, you know, Radio Shack sells at Home Depot and all those places. You can buy them for $150, Radio Shack. But Radio Shack's got this little portable for all those women out there in these apartments and guys that might be concerned or whatever. You know, they got a little motion detector device with a little horn on it. You used to be able to buy it for $25,
$30. Hey.
Believe me, they make a hell of a lot of noise. That door pops open.
Maybe Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Whichever knob you're talking about. And maybe Planned Parenthood could actually benefit from this knowledge, you know, and encourage people to turn whistleblower because it'll reduce the amount of reproduction that goes on.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Hey, it works, doesn't it? You know, you can't argue with progress.
Whistleblower or spy, right?
Yeah. I think, that'd be the way to go for it, I think. And that way you don't have to chemically poison people with the fluoride in order to make sure that they don't have babies. I don't know. It'd be more humane, I think. But I could be wrong. Now, anyway, this kind of descended this conversation into a very dark place. I didn't think it could get darker than it originally was, but...
have George Bush neutered and all their entire family? Castrated and neutered? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Don't have any more generations of this crap.
Yeah. But then again, there's all these bloodlines and stuff all over the place. So you'd actually have to have quite the long, protracted campaign of castration and neutering and what have you.
With all their money, there's always insemination.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Cloning.
Yeah.
Done that in 91, too.
Mm.
Daddy Bush and Milman and the Kissinger and all of them, all the council went and cloned 25 times over. And they cloned it in a test tube, and they took an egg out of one woman, they turned around, put the egg back in, and the whole bit. But the word is that they got 25 clones each, and they're all over 20 when they're... This is all done in 91, so that, figure that out. 91, 22, 23, 24 years of age.
In 2004, Stu, in 2004, when I was in Cuba, I visited one of the largest genetics labs and most advanced in the world. It's amazing what they're doing there.
Yep. They got a stem cell out there in Santa Ana, California, And that was all financed by the Milman Group. And here's what I understand about the stem cell. What their ultimate goal is, this is what I understand, Gene. We haven't talked about this. But I understand that the reason that they clone themselves is because they figure that they will, 20 years from now, up now time frame, old men in their 80s, late 80s, and that they could take and transplant their brain eventually when they die off. They're going to have it transplanted into one of their clones. And this way they can live on. And the stem cell is to make sure that when they attach the spinal cord to the brain, that's what all the stem cell research has been about and the perfection of it. This is what it deals with. And this is the reason they were plotting and planning way back then. Well, you know, I would love to see Leonard's brain transplanted into something younger and retarded, okay, and half crippled. But I still want to see that ghost down there in Cuba before, you know, he ever has the opportunity, that ghost, to transplant his brain.
Well, the project, they call it, is Project Zeus.
Zeus?
Project Zeus.
Stu, again, your speakers are too loud, man. Feedback. All right, there you go. Sorry, what were you saying? Project Zeus?
Project Zeus.
Can you elaborate on that?
The psychiatrist, who was a friend of mine that took me to the genetics lab, just took me in. He said, this is our our Zeus project that we've been working on for years to help. He said, with this project, we should be able to cure most diseases, most cancers. And in addition to that, we're well along a cloning timeline. So,
it's a big deal.
It took me in, showed me strands of DNA, tried to explain everything to me. But you know, remember, I flunked that chemistry exam. So,
what's the big deal about Cuba? Why are they all hide out of Cuba, Gene?
Well, it's the one place that you'll never extradite from, for one thing. As long as you have money and you can pay Castro his ransom, you know, you're safe down there. And I'll tell you, Cuba's nice. I enjoyed it. Doesn't matter if you're a whistleblower in Cuba. The girls will still go out with you, Stu.
I guess that's kind of like called a Cuban extradition.
Well, I was gone for 10 years, and where I went was Colombia. And I lived in Colombia. And everyone talks about the dangers of Colombia. Listen, Chicago's more dangerous than all of Colombia.
Well,
New
that's
York's
because
more dangerous than all of Colombia.
Well, that's because they're gun ban zones and they're run by the mob, who also run the cops.
Well, and down there, everyone's got guns. I mean, it's just known. And drugs are legal now. An ounce of cocaine is legal. 23 ounces of marijuana is legal. For personal use. So, you know, and it's so cheap anyhow, if someone wanted it, you know, a whole kilo of cocaine down there, 97% pure, as well as only $500. So if they wanted drugs, they were there. Now, the reason they keep it safe there as they call us, extranjeros, or foreigners, is because all the tourist areas are run by the cabal. And they have huge investments there, and the last thing they want is for these tourists to have any problems.
Yeah. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to donate a plane ticket to the Vinnie Eastwood show so I can go to Colombia and, you know, just do some deep research. Go for your life.
Medellin, Vinnie.
I want to go kill a ghost.
No. I'm just joking, by the way. No, actually, I wasn't joking. I'm very serious.
I still have a house there, and I'll be going back down.
Okay. Excellent. So I have a place to stay. I won't have to spend any money on a hotel, and I can spend it all on drugs. It'll be fantastic. You know, in fact, wasn't Bush and a number of other the elite and what have you, they're setting up these big safe houses, compounds and things of that nature in South America? Like they want to get out of the United States when this alleged martial law FEMA camp crackdown and what have you happens?
Yeah, they've all invested heavily in Uruguay and Paraguay in the southern portion of South America. Very, very, very. Good cost of living there, but they have huge holdings down there.
Do you know any details of that, or is it just kind of like
mostly large ranches, fincas?
Well, you know, I think that's the bush way, isn't it? You know,
go big or stay home.
Go big on a ranch and spend about 9 months out of every year of your presidency on holiday.
Well, I don't know why someone had to ask George W. Bush, because he has arrest warrants out of The Hague right now, red notices, international court for war crimes. So does Dick Cheney, and so does Gonzalez of Texas, the former attorney general, and so is, I think, Scooter Libby and a couple others, and a couple other attorneys that were underneath him. I can't think of the names, but Boyle, one of the professors out of the University of Illinois, if you go to that website, or go to The Hague International Court, they've been indicted, folks. This was like a year and a half, 2 years ago. And they got red notices on them. I don't understand why George Bush, someone just doesn't snatch him, you know, some good guys in our side of our government, take him to international court and just drop him off at the doorstep.
Maybe that's how it happens on these international warrants, Stu. Unless they're actually listed with Interpol, and normally they aren't from The Hague, no one will stop them and do anything. So they actually have to be listed with Interpol. And who controls Interpol?
Daddy Bush.
Yeah, I love it how the fox actually builds the hen house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not just guarding it. He actually, you know, got a hammer and nails and constructed this up. And just like, Frank, there's some chickens that I can trap in here and eat, you know, and control the whole damn thing. Ah, here we are. Yeah, I have the ability to create money out of thin air and ship drugs all over the place. And yeah, you know, hey, these people operate with absolute immunity and impunity, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. What can you do? What can you do?
And it's move to Colombia.
Yeah. Clearly, because you'll have enough cocaine that you won't mind that you can't do anything about the scumbags that run all the cocaine. Yeah, that sounds about right, actually. Okay,
you know, I like Bruce Campbell's idea, and he's a former mercenary. He knows who Gene is. Probably worked a couple of operations, Rhodesia.
Rhodesia.
Probably dropped him over there a few times. But Bruce has a solution. It's called the AmericanDefenseParty.com. And his solution is for all Americans right now, and I've been pushing this, if we get involved in what we call the American Defense Party, which is three basic things people need to do. One, set up your neighborhood crime watch. You say, oh, we already got a crime watch. Well, you got six or eight people reporting back to the local police on all their neighbors. That's not a crime watch. I mean, a true crime watch where you got people once a month volunteering for 2 or 3 hours that make their career of duty to drive the streets. But to watch each other's back. By setting up the crime watch, going around with a piece of paper, you know, a few flyers, you know, to all your neighbors, you're setting up the crime watch. You have the opportunity to meet your neighbor. You have the opportunity to educate your neighbor while you're setting up the crime watch. Because one of these days, we're going to have a situation happen in America. What do you mean? Well, Do you watch TV? Well, yeah. What channel you watch? Oh, you will watch the Israeli news channel. Do you ever get on the internet? Start talking about Veterans Today. Talking about Vinnie Eastwood's show. Start talking about Gene Chip Tatum or Stu website. It gives you the opportunity to wake up your neighbors. Now, second part is to set up what's called the police oversight, citizens oversight committees. And you go to your city council with all your neighbors in your city, and you push it all over, and you get enough people up there to demand that you have oversight, civilian oversight, citizens oversight. Now, there are set up across the nation, several of them in several localities across the nation. The idea is a cop gets out of hand, brutal with someone, shoots or kills him, beats him up or whatever. Someone files a complaint or family files the complaint. Guess what? If they find the cop guilty, he immediately is suspended, fired, and immediately prosecuted by the local prosecutor for violating that person's civil and constitutional rights. And it puts a stop to this brutality. You know, our police forces are being trained and have been for the past 10 years by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. They're going over there taking police training. They've got this mentality like they do in Israel. You just kill them. Hey, they're the enemy on the streets. Now, there's an article by Preston James on Veterans Today. It's in the slide deck up there, the picture changer. It's about the third or fourth one over. You might take a look at that, the last one by Preston James. He's a psychologist, and he defined it perfectly on what's going on with these police departments. Well, that solves that problem. Then the next thing is to reach out to your local politicians, your local police themselves, and to people inside the military and so forth that you know, and start getting them patriotic. Make them understand, because so many people are sitting around watching the TV. And I say recall petitions. There's the reason I set it up. Three people have been removed in Congress. Out gun control nutcases out in Colorado have been pulled out of office in the past 6 months. And a friend of mine, Victor Head, needed help. I helped him. He gave us the boilerplate. Everything's there. If they violated their oath of office, signed the Patriot Act, the NDAA Act, indefinite detention or gun control nutcases, all you have to do is pull the boilerplate off, go file with the Secretary of State's office, look at the video on how to do it, go get the required signatures. Now, here's my offer to anybody listening. If you file and get your filing done on who you're going to go after, congressmen and senators on the local, on the state level or federal level that have violated their oath of office, I will get you on. I will put a story about you and your efforts to recall on Veterans Today. And I will get you on local TV or local radio in your area. And I will get you help and support in getting those signatures. That's my offer to anybody. Because it's 99.999% of the Congress and Senate is bought and paid for by AIPAC, which is the same ones that are Daddy Bush's partners. And they're the same partners to Bibi Netanyahu that have overthrown this country. And we need to get back.
Now,
solutions for the average person out there to go do. Simple and sweet. Get off of the internet. Get off of Facebook. Get off of all these alternative places where you're posting the stooge land stupid crap and you're being fed by these stooges that are trolls that are working for DHS and Mossad and all the others. I mean, the Israelis are going around hiring kids that are Jewish kids, Israelis, into colleges and paying them $20-$25 an hour to come take off their disinformation off their disinformation sites. Rat-faced Jews is a perfect example. Before It's News is another example. Alex Jones is another example. Rumor Mill News is another example. I'm going to start outing all those that are traitors to my country. It's time that we start shutting them down and shutting them off and start getting in the streets and really doing something.
Now, you mentioned having oversight committees, all right? Now, in my experience, every single oversight committee that I've seen in session and trying to investigate crimes and what have you, it seems that the role of oversight is to just overlook all the crimes that get committed.
This is civilian oversight. This is you setting it up and you being on the board and civilians that are not politicians or anything else. And if your city council says, hey, screw you, you know, we're not going to upset the apple cart. That's what recall petitions is for. Now, they've set police oversight committees up. Go to Bruce Campbell. He'll tell you about the other districts where they've already been set up. Okay? We got to go on the local level. We don't have long. I hear by the end of the year, they're going to start flying the drones. And when they start flying the drones over America, Daddy Bush, they're going to start zapping a lot of people. You're going to be
they're flying them in Tampa.
Pardon me?
They're flying them in Tampa.
Well, they're flying them. They've got them 2 to 3 feet long coming off a Boeing assembly plant, 50 a week. And they're going to use them on people. And that's what this new NSA base is in Utah, in Bluffdale, Utah, is all about. With an alien base connected right next door to it that runs all the way south down to Richfield, Utah.
Mm.
Okay? Ask yourself, why is that?
Yeah, well, Americans, if you thought that America was, like, so full of drones walking around in the streets or whatever, you ain't seen nothing yet.
You haven't seen the party. At the end of the year, the party's going to start, and you're going to be sitting there on TV, and all of a sudden, nobody will see you again.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you know, it really puts things into perspective. Yeah, it really puts things into perspective when your popcorn gets popped by a Hellfire missile.
If they can pop the World Trade Center towers with that death ray, I call it, with a nuke that was on the 80th floor that they know about, and they can melt that sucker down like they did, disintegrated, what do you think they can do with you?
Mm.
Think about it.
Yeah, and as you've said before, you know, if they want you, they'll freaking get you, but you get warned first and what have you. Just like the Israeli shipping company that moved out of the Twin Towers a week before 9/11 and broke their lease. You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, and another thing. We're talking about the JFK assassination, right? I was talking about this with my guest yesterday, and it reminded me of something that Bill Hicks said. You know, Bill, quit talking about Kennedy, man. You know, it was a long time ago. You know, can't you just forget about it? And he goes, okay, well, then don't bring up Jesus to me. I mean, as long as we're talking shelf life here. You know, Jesus died for your sins. Yeah, I know, it was a long time ago. Forget about it. Why don't you get Pontius Pilate to release the frickin' files, you know? Who else was on that grassy Golgotha that day? Now, finally, and we've only got a few minutes left in the broadcast. Man, that just wasn't funny, me reiterating it. Bill Hicks is a lot funnier than I. conclusions. This is the thing. I mean, what should people be watching out for? Do you reckon, because of the information that you know, you've actually really lived your life much, much different to how you would, initially speaking? You know, like, people are always walking around so innocent, and they think that nothing's going to happen to them, and what have you. And their lifestyle doesn't change when they hear about this kind of information, because they think, oh, well, you know, I'm not one of those targeted individuals. What's the difference, and what have you. What would you say to somebody like that? Should people be living their lives any differently? Should people be doing things any differently in their daily life as a result of knowing that there are teams of incredibly well-trained killers out there that pop off people who are a threat to the New World Order agenda?
Well, their whole standard of living and is going to change. And if they like, in the meetings in Jupiter, we talked about Americans being controlled by the U.S. military, by police. But Bush flat out said, look, boys, as long as we keep food on the table, a roof over their head, and they're just going to be fine. Gas in their car, they're going to be fine. They're complacent. Americans are complacent, and as long as we keep them that way, there's nothing we have to worry about. What they have to understand is if they'll look at themselves, they don't have as much food on the table any longer. It's much more expensive. They don't have that security of a roof over their head. Homes are being taken from them. The gas price has gone from $2 upward to $3.50 and $4 a gallon. All those are slowly taking away from them, and what that does is it's slowly separating the wealthy from the middle class, and the middle class is moving down more toward poverty. They have to realize, they have to open up their eyes. Whenever I end a program, I ask him one thing. This is Chip Tatum. Is anybody out there?
What about you, Stu? What's your advice for people who think that because they're not targeted individuals, they really got nothing to worry about and don't want to really change their life and how they live it?
They're fucking idiots, because everybody's targeted, right over the TV, right over the internet, right through the phones, the cell phone, and the ground line. And if you think you're some special, oh, I'm a targeted individual, I belong to this group, or oh, I'm being targeted over here. It's because you're sitting on your computer posting on Facebook, you're targeted. They can mind screw you. Veterans Today has done two stories about this in the past 3 months, how they can take over a person's mind. And one of them came out after the Naval Yard shooting, when they proved this guy had been mind controlled between the TV, the computer, and the cell phone, and it was the Israelis who did it. And had him in there shooting everybody up because they wanted to pay back our U.S. military that stopped the war in Syria. Okay? Now, if they could do that to that guy and make him a mind out of control nutcase, going around shooting and killing everybody, what do you think they're doing to you on Facebook and on Twitter and all these other places that you're posting your garbage all the time, or you're sitting around looking.
Thank you. Oh, join me in Bejeweled.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, I need to finish up this interview and start playing some more Candy Crush. And posting, yeah. And interestingly enough, posting the link to this interview.
You got a revolutionary song that could just mind scrum, you know? Hey, you listen, I call it mind rape. I call these alternative stooges in the media mind rapers. They're like screwing with baby patriots' minds, you know? They're like pedophiles. They're pedophiles of their mind to control them and all. That's what they're doing to you when you're going out here and you're on the internet, on the social medias, because you might see 8 out of 10 things that sound good, 2 out of 10 don't. Maybe those 2 out of 10 might be the truth, but there's really probably only 1 out of every 1,000 up there that's real truth. Now, I'll tell you something. You'll find truth on Gene Chip Tatum's website. You'll find truth on my website. And you'll find more truth right now on Veterans Today than any site in the world. That's the reason it has become the number one alternative news site, and it is mainstream news media. You will see things pop on that site within a week. It will hit mainstream media at times. And then they'll try to actually spin it from the truth. It's getting that very popular. We got 2 million people per hour at times on that site. We've done this in a year.
Well,
everybody needs to be coming there. They need to be coming there because these are FBI agents. These are military intelligence officers. People like Gene, who's been there, done that. We, you know, almost everybody in some way or form, fashion, is working for the government or not. He's not. I'm not. Preston James isn't. And a couple others aren't. Basically, the others, yes. And what do they have behind them that they're bringing to the plate? About 5,000 agents, information that's being released weekly. People need to understand this. There is a movement to clean this country up, and in order to do it, you have to educate the people. They have to understand where to come to get it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's best to hear it from the people who have been there and killed that. So, thank you very much, gentlemen, for your time and your knowledge and wisdom and various other nice things today. And it's been a nice pleasure and an honor. And I'm going to go to the bathroom and evacuate my bowels because it scared the living bejesus out of me.
Well, don't listen to Alex Jones now. He doesn't change your diapers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have the documents.
I'll see you later.
It's admitted. It's on record.
Yeah, and also, ladies and gentlemen, there is the Alex Jones drinking game. So if you are still listening to the Alex Jones show, is whenever he uses the word, it's admitted, it's documented, or I have the documents, or it's on record, you take a drink. I can guarantee you within 30 minutes you'll be pissed as a skunk. Thank you very much, gentlemen, and thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for supporting this show all of these years that I've been around. I do need your support now. We started off the week with a $900 shortfall in the rent, the power bill, and also my wife needs to get her car registered so she doesn't get pulled over and get a frickin' $700 fine by these fascist police in this country, and we've got about 500 so far in donations to cover all of the costs this week. So if you're capable of supporting us and popping an extra 400 in there, I'd be very, very much obliged. You don't have any idea just how much. Thank you very much.
Don't forget, Godfather Vinny here is running a special fund over here to exterminate certain New World Order people, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. By the way, if you do want your donation money specifically to going to hiring assassins, then donate through the PayPal and you can put little notes on it and stuff like that. Vinny, this is into the assassination fund, and I'll create a little account or something like that on it. It'll be fantastic.
Go. Remember?
I'm serious, though. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a lovely day. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening.